Hello, this is Lafayette Faust, creator of the Nevermore Hollows podcast. Thank you for making the show a success. Please take a moment to subscribe, give 5 stars, comment, and share the show with your friends. It's the best way to help us grow and to be able to continue to provide quality horror content. Also, please support our new art director, Chris Madman Goins at Black Sheep Studios TN on Instagram. He has some amazing Nevermore Hollows art for sale, signed by the both of us, as well as many other original pieces I think you're gonna love. Now, for you horror hounds who like to have a good laugh, I invite you to check out my other podcast. It's called The Three Uncool Cats. In it, my two friends and I sit in a basement and discuss music, movies, and whatever else comes into our warped minds. I would really appreciate it if you would give it a listen. Now, with that out of the way, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. There are places on the earth where strange things happen. For the most part, people who visit these locations will experience odd energy, a psychic pull, euphoria or depression, or even the occasional ghostly apparition, which may be indifferent to those in its presence, or malignant with evil intent. Winona's Waffle Hut is one such place. In fact, Winona's is a nexus for the paranormal and the strange. The patrons at Winona's know that on any given day, something unexplainable and often deadly might occur on the property or inside the diner. But they have come to accept these incidents as part of the cost of eating such wonderful waffles. For example, a couple weeks ago, a man dressed as a scarecrow dropped from a black storm cloud into the bed of old Farmer Beck's vintage 56 Chevy pickup truck, which sat at the end of the parking lot. There was a hole in the scarecrow's chest where its heart should have been. But what was found in that gruesome cavity was a withered claw that some claimed belonged to a monkey. Though Elissa Hart, the town's coroner, performed DNA testing that was inconclusive. I am Lafayette Faust, and tonight we visit Winona's establishment to hear a story that may twist your mind. So, I invite you to sit back, turn on a light, and prepare yourself. Winona was a sturdy woman of 40. Most people saw her as no-nonsense and calm in dangerous situations. That was only partly true due to the fact that the crazy stuff that happened at her diner forced her to always be alert and ready to defend her patrons. But to those closest to her, they knew she was a woman of immense wit and intelligence who laughed often and loved deeply. It was just after 9 p.m. on Friday night, and there were currently only 5 patrons, 4 sitting in one booth, and another sitting at the far end of the counter. Winona was busy polishing the silverware while it was quiet. She always worked the graveyard shift on Friday and Saturday nights because that was when the most insane things seemed to happen. Her business partner, Isaac White, chose to work with her on those nights, so that they could make sure everyone was as safe as possible. Isaac stepped through the swinging door from the kitchen, wearing a white apron over his black t-shirt and jeans. He was a decade younger than Winona, built like a linebacker, but spoke with the relaxed voice of a poet. He was handsome, with chocolate skin and an aw-shucks smile. He carried himself with quiet confidence, but had proven himself many times by standing beside Winona in battle when the really crazy shit went down. "I won last Friday when I said it would be quiet," he said, referring to the fact that they took turns guessing how crazy the night would be. "Your turn." Winona shook her head. "If you think a quiet night means stopping a psycho dressed as a lucha libre wrestler from body-slamming Pastor Todd onto the counter, then I wonder what you'd call a crazy night." Isaac laughed. "We both know what crazy is around here. And the wrestler was just mentally disturbed and wasn't anything supernatural. So, I call that a downright peaceful night." "All right," Winona said. "Good point. I'll give you this one." Isaac took a seat at one of the stools. "So, what will it be tonight? Quiet or crazy?" Winona began filling a dispenser with napkins. "As much as I hate to say it, Isaac, I believe tonight's going to get weird." Isaac sighed. "Yeah, I agree. There's a strange energy in the air tonight." Winona glanced under the counter to ensure the 12-gauge Mossberg shotgun was still sitting on the shelf within easy reach. It was. "I feel it too, Isaac." The front of the diner was lined with windows that looked out onto the parking lot. They watched as a Cadillac Escalade, painted Barbie pink, drove into the lot. Three of its four doors opened, and the passengers stepped out. Upon seeing them, Isaac said, "I guess the freaks come out at 9. Winona had thought she'd seen it all in her 10 years as owner of the Waffle Hut, but she couldn't help but give a wry smile at the people who exited the Escalade. They were three girls, dressed in very revealing pastel-colored costumes that vaguely resembled animals. "What the hell am I looking at?" she said. "I believe those are furries," Isaac said. Winona shot him a sideways glance. "What the hell is a furry?" Isaac shrugged. "It's a form of cosplay inspired by Japanese anime, where people dress up as anthropomorphic animals and interact with other like-minded folks. Most of the time, the costumes are full body and basically look like sports mascots, but I believe this group is more involved with the whole sexy furry movement." The three girls could not have been more than 20, and their costumes looked more akin to stripper outfits as opposed to normal cosplay. One girl was tall, with deep mocha skin. She wore a black and white frilly maid's costume, with the addition of a black furry tail with a white tip dangling from behind. Two cat ears poked out of her dark hair. She had used movie-quality special effects makeup to affix a cat's nose over her own, complete with whiskers. The second girl wore blue baby doll lingerie with white and blue striped stockings. She had blue furry bunny ears, tail, and nose, which was of the same special effects quality as the nose of the cat girl. The third girl wore a red t-shirt, bikini bottoms, and knee-high socks. Her furry features were those of a deer, with drooping ears, tiny horns, and a heart-shaped tail. They sauntered through the door and took a seat in a booth next to the jukebox to the right of the counter. Isaac had always been a fan of anime, though not the kind that these girls represented. This was kink anime stuff that always left him feeling unclean. Therefore, he never would allow himself to partake of it. He liked his anime spooky and sci-fi and full of martial arts action. Winona was about to tell Isaac that she had just let him take their order when they heard the thunder of motorcycles rumbling from the parking lot. They looked out the windows to see three massive Harleys turn off the road and into the parking lot. "Now there's something I understand," Winona said as the bikers parked around the Escalade. "Your normal run-of-the-mill bikers dressed in jeans and leather jackets. None of this kinky cosplay stuff you're into."
"I never said I was into kinky cosplay," Isaac said.
"You never said you weren't, either," Winona replied, noticing how he kept glancing over at the girls. Isaac shrugged.
"I may have a high sense of honor and moral standards, but I'm still a man. You can't blame me for the occasional glance."
Let's take a quick break.
Out of the woods can the merry...
Moon Carter is a family fictional podcast, and I mean for the family. Parents, do you find it really hard to make it through your children's podcasts?
Then listen to Moon Carter and join me, Splot, and the gang on our magical adventures. Click all the links below or get it from where you get your podcast from. But if you need to be told that, then I worry about you. Splat. It's like drink water from where water's from. Not, what's that about?
Not helping. Moon Carter is a podcast. You like it?
The bikers walked through the door and looked around the diner. The leader was a beefy man with shoulder-length blonde hair. A name badge sewn onto his leather jacket declared he was Bjorn. To his left was a tall man with a long beard streaked with gray. His badge stated he was Rev. To Bjorn's right stood Mufa, a man of average height, though lean and wiry, who appeared to be Middle Eastern. He had shaggy dark hair and a thick black beard.
"You don't see many Middle Easterners in a bike gang," Winona said, sizing up the men, feeling a surge of concern when she saw the name of their gang sewn onto the backs of their jackets. The Nevermore Blood Wolves.
"Can't say that I've ever seen one," Isaac replied.
"You feel that?"
"Yeah," Winona said. "The energy in this room just changed." They both felt it, especially when all three of the bikers turned their attention toward the furries. A thick tension wrapped its coils around the room.
"We'll need to keep them separated," Isaac said. Then he grabbed three menus and stepped over to the bikers.
"Follow me. I'll seat you." The three men reluctantly pulled their gaze from the girls and followed Isaac to the other side of the diner where he seated them at a table. Winona glanced at the scantily clad furries. She chose to refer to them in her mind as Kitten, Bunny, and Bambi. They were whispering and casting glances at the bikers. She stepped over to them.
"Can I get you girls anything?"
"I'll take a Coke," Kitten said and held up her phone and took a selfie.
"Same," said Bambi. She held out her left hand to inspect her long manicured nails, painted black. Winona noticed that the words "goddess" was written in white on her red t-shirt.
"Me too," Bunny said, cutely wrinkling her bunny nose.
"And some fries."
She turned to Bambi and said, "Girl, you are so cute tonight. That shirt is so racy."
Winona leaned in closer, so not to be overheard by the bikers.
"I wouldn't try to draw any more attention to yourselves, girls. Those men over there could be dangerous. We'll serve them and send them on their way."
Kitten rolled her eyes and flashed a bright, coquettish smile. Winona knew her type. She was pretty, spoiled, vain to the point of narcissism, and dressed like this for attention. She was unable to understand the danger she put herself in by dressing so seductively. Bunny and Bambi gave cute giggles. They were oblivious to the dark energy in the room since the bikers walked in.
"Thank you," Kitten said. "It's such a pain that ugly men always want to look at us."
On the other side of the diner, Isaac handed each of the men a menu. "What will you have to drink?" Bjorn tossed his menu down on the table.
"How about a slice of that little bunny over there?"
"Yeah," Rev said. "Just bring me that one with the deer horns. I like 'em freaky like that."
Mufa openly stared at Kitten, lust on his face. "I'm afraid they aren't on the menu tonight," Isaac said.
"I can bring you some drinks, a quick meal, and send you on your way. Get you to wherever you're going with a full stomach."
"Burgers for us all," Mufa said. His dark eyes shone with wicked intent. "Rare." "We typically don't make burgers rare," Isaac said. "Too much of a health risk." Bjorn gave a wolfish grin.
"Let 'em bleed. It brings out the flavor."
People in Nevermore Hollows were often more than they seemed. In his years as Winona's business partner, Isaac had encountered seemingly normal-looking folks who were, in fact, murderers and monsters. He'd fought serial killers and shapeshifters, evil clowns, and a nasty little demon-possessed monkey who called himself Psycho Juju. So he had a keen sense of when people were more than they seemed. He could feel that these men were up to no good, and the fact that they wanted to eat their burgers rare made him wonder if they were shapeshifters of some sort. He could feel the dark energy in the room getting thicker. "I'll get your drinks for you and put this order in," he said. "Should be up in a few minutes." He quickly made his way behind the counter, gave the order to Alvin, their fry cook, and told him to put a rush on it. He then squatted down behind the counter with the pretense that he was looking for something. He grabbed the .40 caliber Smith & Wesson that was stashed on the shelf beside the shotgun and slipped it into the front of his apron. He stood and remained behind the counter as he waited on Alvin to complete the order. Winona made her way over and called out her order to Alvin. She stood beside Isaac.
"I don't like it."
Isaac shook his head.
"Me either. I can't tell where it's coming from."
Winona glanced over at the bikers.
"You don't think it's them?"
"Yes, I do," Isaac replied. "We felt it the moment they walked through the door, but there's something else that I can't quite put my finger on."
"I agree," Winona said.
She looked at the booth where 4 cute teenage boys sat, eyeing the bikers with contempt and casting hungry glances at the furries. At the far end of the counter sat Mr. Ichiro, an older Asian man, seemingly in his own thoughts, reading a book and eating pie. What she'd learned over the years was that anybody could be more than they seemed, even cute boys and kindly-looking old men. "We need to pinpoint it and minimize the threat."
"I think the bikers may be shapeshifters," Isaac said.
"Shit," Winona replied. "What makes you think that?"
"Their aggressiveness. And they ordered their burgers rare, like they want to taste the blood."
Winona considered this piece of information. "We need to figure this out before someone gets hurt." The furries kept glancing at the teenaged boys. They were in full-on tease mode. Kitten winked at them and twirled her long dark hair. The boys huddled together, whispering, as if they were planning something. The bikers ogled the furries with open desire. Rev tilted his head back and gave a wolfish howl, causing the teenage boys to give them angry looks and the furries to giggle seductively.
"Those stupid girls are going to get themselves killed. Or worse," Winona said.
Isaac understood what she meant by that statement. As they had both seen living in this creepy little town, there were things worse than death. "We don't need this getting out of hand when we don't know yet what we're feeling," he said. Winona's cell was sitting beside the register. She snatched it and sent a text. "I just alerted Sheriff Mosley about what we're feeling. I'm sure he'll be on his way and bring some help." "I hope he gets here before it all goes to hell on us," Isaac said. "I'm considering locking up, telling everyone there's a problem with the grill or a gas leak or something," Winona said. "But if I do, then we can't control the situation. At least if we keep everyone in here until Mosley shows up, we might be able to minimize the threat." Isaac nodded. "I agree. Let's try and keep them distracted. I'll go over and engage the bikers in conversation. You take the furries. Let's both keep an eye on the boys. They look like they're up to no good, too." Before either of them could step from behind the counter, the jukebox in the corner began playing "You Sexy Thang." Not the original, but the slow, sexy cover by Caleb Hawley. The furries all yelled, "Woo!" at the same time and slid out of their booth, giggling and flashing heart-stopping smiles. They began to slowly, seductively gyrate to the kinky beat. Kitten let out a long, sexy purr. She swayed side to side and flipped her long, dark hair, her maid costume revealing too much skin. Bunny rolled her hips, shook her fluffy cotton tail, and held her arms high, letting her fingers caress the air around her. Her curves were perfectly accentuated by her blue baby doll lingerie. Bambi playfully pulled at her t-shirt, showing her tummy, and pranced closer to Kitten, and they began to dance with each other as if they were lovers in the throes of lust. Bjorn and Rev tilted back their heads and gave long, wolfish howls and banged on the table. Mufa growled, "Now we're talking," and stood, eyeing the furries with open desire. Bambi writhed to the melody and gave the bikers a seductive, "Come hither" motion. Raw lust coiled with the ominous tension and seemed to squeeze against everyone in the diner. The four teenagers sat in their booth, enthralled with the dancing furries, and nervously eyeing the bikers who were now all standing, tense, focused completely on the girls.
"I'm going to devour that one," Rev said, jutting his chin toward Bunny. "I got dibs on the cat," Mufa said.
Bjorn licked his lips.
"Yeah, I'm good with that little doe."
The bikers spread out and moved toward the girls as if they were a pack of hungry dogs encircling unsuspecting prey. The furries continued to gyrate and grind and tease, clearly loving the attention.
"Time to put a stop to this," Winona said. She snatched a shotgun from under the counter, intending to step between the stupid girls and overstimulated bikers. However, before she could take a step around the counter, all hell broke loose.
The bikers moved quickly. Rev grabbed Bunny's arm. Mufa wrapped his right arm around Kitten's waist. Bjorn put his hands on Bambi's hips. Instead of responding with anger, the girls latched onto the men and pulled them close. Kitten opened her mouth wide to reveal sharp teeth, exactly like those of a cat. She sunk them into Mufa's neck. Blood sprayed, and he gave a gurgling scream and tried to pull away. But Kitten seemed to have gained supernatural strength. She pulled her head back and spat a chunk of flesh onto the floor. She was changing physically, like in one of those old horror movies. Her face had morphed into something both cat and human. Her lithe body sprouted black fur, and her tail and pointy ears flicked around in ecstasy. Winona and Isaac realized that the girls had never actually been wearing studio-quality special effects makeup, but instead, had allowed just enough of their animalistic traits to manifest to pull off the guise of high-quality furry costuming. Bambi was also changing. She was now covered in tawny fur, her face a hybrid of deer and girl. Bjorn pulled away from her, stumbled back against the jukebox. Bambi giggled, lowered her head, and rammed her tiny horns into his chest, puncturing his lungs. He coughed up blood. Bunny wrapped her furry hands around Rev's throat, choking him. Her face had fully morphed into that of a rabbit, with short snout full of sharp teeth, which she used to chew on his face while he grunted and tried to break from her grip. Her long ears twitched happily as she ripped his flesh with her teeth. Isaac slid across the counter, pulling the Smith & Wesson from his apron. Winona ran around the counter, shotgun held ready for a clear shot. The four teenage boys bolted from their booth and ran out the door. Isaac and Winona had both hoped that Mosley would have gotten to the diner with backup before it went full-on psycho juju. They had basically been in a damned-if-you-do, damned-if-you-don't situation. They'd been here before, and unfortunately, as often happened, there was going to be a body count. It was now their job to minimize it. It was painfully clear that saving the bikers was not going to happen. So, what they had to do was put these crazy-ass furries down. Isaac took aim at Bunny and squeezed off a shot. The bullet tore through her head, leaving a gruesome mess. But, miraculously, the gaping wound began to instantly heal itself. She growled and her long ears twitched in anger. "Oh, hell," Winona said. "Go ahead. I got it," Isaac said, now knowing that normal bullets would not kill these shapeshifters. He fired two more rounds in an effort to keep them distracted and off balance while Winona ran back toward the counter. One of his shots hit Kitten in the back as she continued to tear at Mufa's throat. The other ripped through Bambi's shoulder as she tore her horns from Bjorn's chest. Both their wounds began to immediately heal. The bikers yelled and gurgled and grunted as their blood sprayed and their lives drained from them. Blood covered the furries, the booth, the jukebox, and made the floor slippery. The furries growled and groaned in delight at the slaughter. Winona dropped to her knees behind the counter and snatched the box of special shells. She emptied the shotgun of the normal shells and replaced them with the special ones. She stood and took in the situation. Bambi circled around Isaac, lowered her head, and charged him, intending to spear him with her horns. Winona fired the shotgun, hitting Bambi in her side. Bambi dropped to her knees, looked over at Winona with eyes full of shock, and said, "You ugly bitch! You're using wolfsbane!" Bambi leaped over the counter and landed on Winona, knocking her onto the floor where she banged her head against the bottom of the soda machine. Bambi squatted astride her, holding a steak knife she'd grabbed from a shelf. Winona's head ached and darkness crept into her vision, likely due to a concussion, but she could see the wound on Bambi's side wasn't healing as fast. She was glad that she had had the idea to reload shotgun shells with pellets she'd dipped in a solution of wolfsbane and holy water. Bambi raised the steak knife high, and just as she began to plunge it into Winona's chest, Winona realized that she still held the shotgun in her right hand. She forced herself to act, bringing the barrel up under Bambi's chin and pulled the trigger. Bambi flinched away at the last second, which saved her life. The wolfsbane and holy water enhanced buckshot blew away the left half of her neck and knocked her off Winona. Bambi writhed in pain and let out a string of curse words that would have made a demon blush. Winona raised a shotgun to finish her off but heard Isaac cry out in pain. She looked over to see that Kitten had jumped onto his back and had sunk her teeth deep into his shoulder. and Bunny was closing fast. Winona racked another shell into the chamber and shot Bunny in the back, knocking her against a jukebox. Bambi took this opportunity to climb back over the counter and lope to the front door. She held the door open with one hand and used her other to stanch the blood from the ghastly wound in her neck. Bunny screamed in agony due to the wolfsbane, rolled away from the jukebox, and shot out the door. Kitten let go of Isaac and scampered out into the parking lot behind Bunny. Bambi turned and ran after them, but instead of getting into their pink Escalade, the three furries, dressed in their sexy attire and drenched in blood, ran across the road and into the dark woods of Dunwich Forest. Winona snatched a towel and ran over to Isaac and pressed it against the wound in his shoulder. "It doesn't look too bad," she said. "There are two deep puncture wounds from her fangs, but the rest is superficial." "It hurts like a mother," Isaac said, wincing. "How did you know those shells would work?"
"I didn't," Winona replied.
She led him to one of the tables and helped him take a seat. They looked at the carnage. The three bikers were dead and sprawled on the floor. Two tables were overturned, chairs knocked askew. Blood covered everything on this side of the diner. Winona and Isaac turned their attention to Mr. Ichiro, who calmly sat at the far end of the counter, eating his cherry pie with vanilla ice cream. He had closed his book when the action began and placed it on the stool beside him. Winona walked over to him, using a napkin to wipe splatters of blood from her face and hands. "You doing okay over here, Mr. Ichiro?" Ichiro sat his spoon directly in the center of a neatly folded napkin. "Yes," he said. His eyes were full of wisdom and something Winona couldn't quite define. Was it amusement? She wasn't sure. He let his wizened eyes touch on Isaac, then on Winona. "The pie was exceptional tonight, Suriyatsu." "Thanks," Winona replied. "Miss Matilda bakes her pies fresh for us, and I'll let her know you liked it so well." Ichiro gave a polite nod and scooted off the stool. He placed a $100 bill on the counter, which he had previously folded into a butterfly using origami techniques, grabbed his book, and made his way to the door. Before stepping into the night, he turned, took in the carnage, and said, "Reminds me of my youth." With that, he exited the diner and got into his 1980 Toyota 4x4 and drove into the dark countryside.
"What do you think he meant by that?" Isaac said as he gingerly patted the wound on his shoulder.
Winona shrugged. "Not sure. But I think what he called us is a clue."
"Yeah," Isaac said. "I was curious about. What was it again?"
"Suriyus?"
"Suriyatsu," she corrected. "I know I murdered it, but it's Japanese for slayers."
Isaac sat in the chair, left elbow on his knee, using his free hand to pat the bite in his shoulder. Winona stood leaning against the counter, and they considered that word and what it may have meant to old man Ichiro. After a moment, Isaac broke the silence.
"As calm as he was, and the fact that he called us that, he must have been like us in his youth."
Winona understood that Isaac meant that Ichiro must have battled supernatural beings as a young man back in Japan.
"I wouldn't be so sure he couldn't still kick some monster ass," she said. "You don't get that calm unless you can back it up."
Just then, Sheriff Mosley strode through the front door like a battle-hardened soldier wearing his signature cowboy hat. He was followed by two deputies and the coroner, Alyssa Hart.
"Hit me," he said.
"Furries versus bikers," Winona said.
"Bikers lost," Isaac added.
Mosley grimaced at the gore-splattered diner.
"What the hell is a furry?"
Winona nodded toward Isaac. "I'll let him explain."
"Basically, they are shapeshifters," Isaac said.
"But sexy."
Mosley let that sink in for a long moment.
"Sexy?" Isaac shrugged.
"Yeah, sexy."
Mosley looked at Winona for clarity. She nodded.
"I'm straight as an arrow, but I have to admit, they were sexy."
When they could see that Mosley wasn't in the mood, they both explained in more detail of how the furries had looked and the death that they had wrought. Mosley shook his head.
"So, these sexy half-human girls are running around town doing only God knows what?"
"I think they ran into the woods to heal," Winona said. "But I have no doubt we'll see more of them in the future." Alyssa was one of the small team of folks in Nevermore Hollows who understood the dark truth of the town. She had chosen early on to study the supernatural beings they encountered, learn as much as she could, and build a database that they could use to help them in their war against the darkness. She stepped over to Isaac and took a look at the wound.
"You got bit?"
"Unfortunately," Isaac said. "And let me go ahead and ask the question that's on all our minds. Am I going to become a shapeshifter like these furries?"
"I don't think you've got the looks," Winona said.
Isaac shot her a screw you look and smirked. "White girls are so mean." Alyssa took the towel from Isaac and began cleaning and inspecting the wound more closely.
"Not all of us," she said. "Anyway, I think you're going to be fine. I believe what you encountered were more akin to kitsune than werewolves."
"What are kitsune?" Mosley asked.
"Shapeshifting foxes," Isaac said. "It's a big part of Japanese folklore."
"From what I've read in my research of shapeshifters, I don't think it works with kitsune like with werewolves and their ilk," Alyssa said. "I don't think a bite turns you into a shapeshifter. I believe you'll be safe."
"But only one of them was a fox," Winona said. "One was a deer and the other a cat."
"I don't think it matters," Alyssa replied. "Same class of monsters, same abilities and limitations. We can keep an eye on Isaac for a while, but I think he's going to be okay."
Everyone was cautiously hopeful at Alyssa's assessment.
"What about them?" Mosley said, nodding toward the dead bikers.
"I'll take them back to the morgue and perform an autopsy to see if anything weird shows up," Alyssa said.
"Then I'll cremate them, just to be sure."
"I hope you're right about Isaac not turning into a furry," Winona said, "because I'd sure hate to see him prancing around in a man thong and a bushy little tail."
Alyssa laughed. Mosley grimaced. Isaac grinned sheepishly. Then they set about bringing order to the chaos that evil had brought to them, not wanting to be in the war, yet determined to fight, knowing that in the end, evil will lose and goodness will win.